the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Well, here we go again. It's been a lively show so far. A lot of calls, a lot of strategy being discussed, a whole lot of different topics. It is the Bucket Strategy Investing Show, and we got a whole lot more to talk about this hour. More strategy, more questions, more phone calls, more answers all coming up. We're continuing to do what we do best every day right here on this particular program. I'm Johnny Dean. Professor Rick Plum is joining me again here, ready to get going on the strategy portion of the show. And, of course, that means phone calls, emails, all that. Your chance to take part in the discussion is right now. It's your chance to take advantage of the years and years of experience and the knowledge that we got here, right here in the studio. And all you have to do is just give us a call. That's it. We're going to continue to answer your emails as well. Yeah, we'll get to those a little bit later on this hour. Got a couple of lines open right now. Finally, if you've been trying to get in touch with the Brain Trust, pick up your phone, give us a call, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. As for your emails, you send those via our website. That's where you go to wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link there near the top of the page. We will answer those emails right here on the program live. Before we get your calls, I want to remind you, Professor Rick Plum, certified financial planner. He's here with us once again from Lucia Capital Group. So if you got a money question or if you need a bucket strategy done just for you, the kind we were just talking about a little while ago, you can reach Rick or any of the advisors that we got on hand at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number. You can talk to an advisor, get your questions answered. We're here to give you the help that you need. Again, off the air, the number 800-644-1150. And on the air, which we're going to get to right now, you can reach us at 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We got some folks on hold right now. We're going to take those calls right now, get to some more of those emails, and eventually, Professor Plum, we'll get to some more of this required minimum distribution stuff, which is important, and that's why we took so many calls on it last hour. We didn't even get to all the stuff that we wanted to talk about, spousal beneficiary, non-spousal beneficiary, trusts. We got some issues on that. Trust issues, that's what we've got.
We have trust issues.
We have trust issues on this program. options for people who are spousal beneficiaries, all that. Okay, 877-PLANNER, let's get back to the phone lines. Dennis in New London, Connecticut is first up this hour. Hello, Dennis.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This buckets of money strategy is new to me. I happened to be going through the radio station about 3 weeks ago, and I came upon your program, and it's very entertaining.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what my situation is, and the way I have run my portfolio. I have about $2.3 million, and my capital gains and my interest and my qualified dividends from this entire portfolio gives me a yield of about 3.7%. I know now because I just went to see my accountant. That's the exact number for the year, 3.7%. So that means that I take from the portfolio, if I want to, $85,000 a year from this portfolio. And I happen to be explaining this buckets of money strategy, and his numbers came to, well, if you want 7 years' worth of expenses in a bucket of money, if I explained it to him correctly, I would have to take $500,000 from my portfolio and leave it in bucket one and probably not be as diverse as I am right now with a balanced portfolio. Is there any study that was done that would show that the buckets of money strategy is a better way to go than taking capital gain distributions from your portfolio? Or
define better.
Well,
does it
better,
create
better meaning enhance my position with my portfolio?
Okay, but again, we're going to get back to some definitions. What does better mean? Does better mean a better rate of return? Does better mean less risk? Does better mean a more consistent cash flow? Does better mean not having to worry about what the market's doing and whether I need to take money out now or I can't take money out now? The idea of a bucket strategy is not to create the best potential rate of return that could ever happen. It is designed to create a very consistent cash flow, one that does not rely on the market doing something on our behalf, because we all know that the market is somewhat volatile. Okay, very volatile. And there are times where the distributions are very high and there are times where the distributions are very low. And so if we're trying to create a predictable, stable cash flow and trying to make sure that we have the ability to outlast a downturn in the market so I don't have to sell anything when there's a downturn. And the other side, there have been studies also that show that reinvesting dividends and reinvesting capital gains is the better way to enhance your return of your overall portfolio over time. Now, obviously, in the short run, it doesn't, because the market could go down and stay down for a while. But when you look at the long-term rates of return out of long-term growth assets, the stock market, real estate, and things of that nature, reinvesting dividends into volatile assets helps the overall return, the enhancement of your overall return, quite a lot. The only problem, though, is if I'm relying on that portfolio to provide me an income, I'm not reinvesting it. The dividends, while stable, may change. I have to worry about whether or not I want to take a distribution. And when I'm retired, I don't want to worry about when I want to take a distribution, because the market's either up or down. Obviously, if we look at an up market, everything works fine. The bucket strategy is designed to create a stability from the income side to take away some of that volatility fear. And will it enhance your return? Not directly. Where it enhances your return is that you tend not to sell when the market's down. But that's an emotional behavior side, not a scientific behavior side. So how it helps retirees is as much from the emotional side as the financial side.
Is it protecting from the downside? I mean, it's down, you know, protecting against perhaps losing less, let's put it that way.
Now, in Dennis's favor is the fact that he said if he wanted to, he could have had $85,000 of distributions last year, but it sounded like he didn't want that much.
Is that true, Dennis?
Yes, I could have, but I didn't take it. I did reinvest it. But
right, and so
my accountant's argument against this plan is, the buckets plan is, you're taking $500,000 out of this portfolio and putting it in the very beginning of your expenses, and it's going to be, you're spending it down. You're spending
you are.
Down the $500,000.
You bet. You're spending this down and you're reinvesting this over here. You're spending down something that's earning 1% and 2%. You're reinvesting something that's earning 3% and 4%, maybe higher percent. The only way to get a reasonable rate of return out of the stock market is not to touch it and reinvest everything. So the reinvestment and the growth of the long-term bucket is designed, well, so far in history it has, but there, you can't screw this up, and grow faster than you're depleting this side. So the bucket strategy is not about creating the best rate of return in the world. It's about creating stability and strategy. And yes, you are going to do something, but you're also reinvesting a lot of it. Now, what I was going to say was, Dennis is, you know, in a very blessed situation that he's got a very nice portfolio and he doesn't need much from it. So you don't have to have a big time bucket. You don't have to have $85,000 a year for the next 7 years in bucket number one when you're not spending $85,000 a year. So where the buckets really comes into play is somebody who needs a better than 3% or 4% distribution, not too much better, because that's going to kill the portfolio too, where you have to be able to, where are you going to get a 4% or 5% yield? Even in a good year, you're probably at 3% and 4% right now. And then in bad years, it's even worse. But we need to change attitude.
I'm sorry, very quickly, Dennis, what's your accountant's idea that's better than that?
Well, he said to keep going the way I'm going.
And in your case, since you're reinvesting it anyway, anything will work. I don't care how, you know, you don't need bucket number one unless you tell me I'm going to change my habits. I need to spend $85,000 a year. If that were the case, I would say you're doing it incorrectly. If you're saying, you know what, I may need $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 from time to time, and it's, you know, this year I didn't need anything, next year, you're fine the way you are, because you're spending such a small amount of your portfolio. Anything will work. You're never going to run out of money.
I do see the purpose, though, of the buckets of money strategy. It is an interesting concept. It really is.
And for people that need a direct stability of income, that can't afford to say, or don't want to afford to say, I will not take a distribution from my portfolio because it's down right now, then that's the person that we're looking at. That's the traditional retiree. For somebody, I mean, we've met a lot of people through the years, that retire with pensions and other income sources, that, you know, they have $100,000 a year in pensions and they live on $60,000-$70,000 a year. Their portfolio can be anything they want it to be because they're never going to need it, or rarely going to need it anyway. They're saving money in retirement. But there's also the other side of the equation where somebody has, you know, $1,000, $2,000 of Social Security and needs $4,000 or $5,000 a month, and they've got to get that four from their portfolio, and they need it every month. They need it,
it needs to be every year.
It
needs to be guaranteed.
That needs to be stable, and they can't afford to say, well, the market's down right now, and it's better if I reinvest, or if I really don't want to sell anything right now, so I'm just going to go without income for a little while. That's where the buckets of money is supposed to, the buckets investment strategy is supposed to work.
Yeah.
And it does work.
Sure. If you got a few million bucks and you only need 30 grand a year or whatever it is, hey.
Anything will work.
Exactly.
Your mattress will work.
We shouldn't say anything. We don't know that anything will work. I mean, don't
Your mattress
throw it
will.
Into, well, sure. But
well, yeah, you can lose it. You can screw it up.
Absolutely you can. Dennis, thanks for the call. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. More of your money questions when we come back. Don't go away. We played one Friday, was it? Last week?
Sometime last week.
Yeah. This is like a wedding reception staple, you know? That and Celebrate, Good Times. But this
YMCA.
Is actually a good song. Yeah, YMCA. And what was that? The chicken dance? Do they still do that? Whatever that
not
is.
Not the last two that I went to. And I'm right in the middle of with my kids and all their friends and the middle of wedding season or so. A couple of years here of weddings.
Yeah, no thanks. I stay home. Anyway, welcome back to the program. I'm lucky I showed up to mine. That's how
your
much
wife's
I
not.
There you go. I gave her the choice. I said, you know what? If you just want to do this by yourself. Oh, I'm kidding, sort of. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. We got some open phone lines, finally, for the first time this entire program. 877-752-6637. With all the calls, I neglected to mention the couple of things. Every Tuesday, there's a Social Security program. It's called The Social Security Show. And we talk about Social Security. We're very direct.
Amazing how that happens.
It really is. Every Tuesday, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, it's at wealthed.com. I'm the host, Professor. You and I, it's like us doing the show like we do here, but we do it only
specific.
At Wealth.
Specific.
Yeah, specifically on Social Security. Although some people would say, well, it sounds like you do that anyway some days, which is true. But at wealthed.com, our website, WEALTH, wealthed.com. You can watch the Social Security Show. It's a half hour. It's a lot of information in a half hour. And we have a Social Security hotline that you can call. It's a recorded line. That's what it is. You leave your question at that Social Security hotline, 800-838-0483. If you didn't get that, it's at wealthed.com. You call that, leave your question. We'll answer it on that particular program. So anybody who calls today or called over the weekend will get those calls on the program on the next one. So there's that. And speaking of Social Security, we've had a lot of questions on this, on the rules changes. In fact, it's probably dominated the discussions on Social Security the last several weeks. Big changes coming to Social Security. Professor Plum has put together a guide. It's just 6-7 pages, something like that. But it's all about the changes that are affecting people from the restricted application, the file and suspend, and it's. I tell you what, even from people who are supposed to know about this stuff, they're getting it wrong. I hate to say that.
Whether it's slightly or very wrong.
Yeah, and I had heard some advice over the weekend. Somebody is putting together locally, I guess, where we are, a workshop on Social Security. And the way they mentioned it was completely, completely wrong. They had said...
I have not heard that.
Yeah, they had said that you cannot do any more restricted applications after April... They said April 30th. That was wrong.
Well, the restricted application has nothing to do with that deadline.
No, it does
That's
not.
That's the file and suspend
said,
deadline
they
that was
said,
wrong.
You cannot afterwards do file and suspend and restricted application. And I'm listening to the radio, I'm saying, no, that's wrong! But anyway... All right, so there's a lot of bad information out there. What you can do is download that guide. The best way to do it is to go to our Facebook page, Wealth Ed Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, you know how to search for it. Or at wealthed.com, there's a Facebook link there in the upper right part of the page. You'll see it. Just click on that. It'll take you right to our Facebook page. Download it, read it, and if you have more questions on it, you can call our program right here at 877-PLANNER. We've made it easy for you, I do believe, at 877-PLANNER. Okay, does that help you out? I hope so. I think I covered everything right there. More to come, including workshops. But I want to get back to the phone lines. Also, we'll have a couple more comments on accountants and planners and all that stuff. And
yes,
hang on to that. All right. Because I know, believe me, we know this stuff. We've been talking about it a long time, folks. We know how it works. We've seen it. I don't know, speaking out of turn here, I don't know that there's anything that we really haven't seen over the several decades we've been doing this. So anyway, that'll be coming up. All right, 877-PLANNER, back to the phone lines. Brooklyn, New York, Lillian is up next on topic. Hello, Lillian, how can we help you today?
Hi, yes, this is about RMDs.
Yes.
If this is the year I have to take an RMD from my 401 and my TDA account, may I make a conversion to my Roth IRA before the RMDs have to take place at the very end of the year so that my distribution could be smaller?
No, the RMD is already set for this year. The 2016 RMD is based on the December 31st, 2015 balance. So when do you turn 70 and a half?
May.
So you're going to be
May 70. Second.
So your required minimum distribution has already been calculated, or should be.
Okay.
It is based on the 12/31 balance of last year, and this is the same calculation you're going to do every year going forward. You look at last year's balance. Because if you waited until December 31st of this year, by the time you got the balance, it'd be too late to take their distribution. So they do use last year's balance, and they divide it by the age that you will reach this year. Now, you're 70 and a half in May, which means you will turn 71 in November. So you go to the books and you use the 71 age factor. You divide last year's ending balance by this year's, the age you reach this year's life expectancy factor, as given to us by the IRS.
Now, I'm sorry, does she have to do this, or can the brokerage help?
Well, the
her
brokerage
out,
the firm will do it. I mean, yeah. Or if she has the money with an insurance company or whoever, they will probably do the calculation for her. The only time I've seen them screw up the calculations is for somebody who's married to somebody more than 10 years their junior. Now, that's a different game, as we can talk. But yeah, if you want, you can ask them to do it for you, or you can do it yourself by looking up the factors. But basically, you're going to take last year's balance divided by 26.5. That's your required minimum distribution this year. Next year will be another one.
I see. But may I defer my RMD to 2017 and then make a conversion to a Roth this year?
Nope.
And my RMD will be smaller?
Nope. The RMD for 2016 is already done.
They know how
it's
much it is.
It's based on last year's balance. It has to happen. And we found this out long time ago when we first got Roth IRAs back in 1998. We thought, well, let's just postpone taking the required minimum distribution until next year and do conversions this year. They said, no, any distribution this year is going to first be a required minimum distribution, and only an amount in excess of that can be converted. So if, let's say that you did 10,000 of conversion this year and you didn't do any other distributions, they're going to consider that required minimum distribution, not a conversion, which means that it's an excess contribution. So you're going to get penalized for doing that. So unfortunately, you do have a required minimum distribution
and
this
year. And there's nothing you can do to make it less for this year.
You can postpone it until next year, but you still have to take the same amount, and that actually increases next year's required minimum distribution by about 4% because it'll still be as part of the balance at the end of this year.
Yes, thank you. You explained it to me a lot. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Lillian. Thank you for the call. This is why we were talking about required minimum distributions, and we do need to explain how this works. We don't have time this segment, but mark it down. The list is getting long, and time is running short of stuff that we need to cover on required minimum distributions. And it's confusing as heck.
It can be, but it's mostly confusing because we're trying to find a ways around it that the Congress has already figured out how to stop us.
Right. Understand that whatever your required minimum distribution is for this year, it cannot be changed because it's based on the ending balance of 12/31
of last year,
of the previous year. So nothing you can do converting, none of that stuff is going to help. So, but it's important to know that. So Lillian, I'm very glad you called. I'm glad you asked that question. We'll cover more of this. Any other questions you have, 877-PLANNER, Brain Trust, doing a great job today. Keep it up. when we come back. Don't go away. Bucket Strategy Investing. This is what we do. We talk about your money. I'll put the brain trust advice against anybody else's. Plum can't do that, but I will. I can do it. Come on, man. It drives me crazy, Professor, when I'm I listen to financial talk shows, probably more on the radio, because that's where a lot of them are. But driving around, especially on the weekends, and just some of the, I'm not even going to go with the advice. You know, advice is advice. I'm talking about getting the rules wrong. The facts are wrong, especially with regard to Social Security, as I'd said. They had tried to tell people that you got a deadline coming up, and by golly,
For the restricted application,
and nobody's going to be able to do it after that. And I'm sitting there yelling at my radio. They don't listen to me. You can't talk back to your radio. Anyway, it drives me crazy.
Next time you hear that ad, let's go find out when and where.
I should have.
We'll go listen to them and laugh and snicker.
And ask questions. Say, excuse me. You're wrong. Can I tell you why?
That's not a question. That's a statement.
It's going to be like in, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be like in the movie Back to School. Remember when Rodney Dangerfield's in the classroom and he starts giving advice back to the teacher, and all of a sudden all the students are turning around, they're taking notes as to what Rodney's saying, and the teacher's left there sitting there saying, wait a minute. I think that's what it would turn into. Anyway, okay. But the point of this is that the advice, I believe, the advice that we give and the advice that the Brain Trust has for you is far superior to anything else. Now, I want to remind you, too, that you can get a lot of this advice. It really has to do with retirement income strategies, which is a big part of what we do. You can get this in person at one of the many workshops that are coming up. Next one is going to be this Saturday. We're already here. This Saturday, Phoenix, Arizona, March 12th. It's at 9 o'clock in the morning. You can join the Brain Trust for free. We don't charge for these things. You just sign up at wealthed.com, our website, or you can call us here, but wealthed.com. Tell us you're going to be there. Tell us how many people, and you can show up. Just bring your money questions. Phoenix, this Saturday, March 12th, be there at wealthed.com is where you sign up. After that, a week from Saturday, we're coming back to Portland, March 19th, and then Houston, Texas, a couple of weekends after that. It'll be after Easter, obviously, Saturday, April 9th. So we're going on into April. Plenty of time for you to get your sign-up sheets.
We were talking about weddings and things, going to weddings.
Yes.
I have a wedding to go to the day before Easter. There's a wedding the week between Easter and our next seminar. So I'm in the middle of, with kids in the 21 to 28 range, we're in the middle of wedding, you know, central.
Isn't there another one after the Houston workshop, too?
Yeah, like that one's
a little after?
Yeah, that was a little more close to home since it's my son's.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what it was. Yeah, I knew that.
So I've got three of them coming up in the next 5 or 6 weeks.
I'm really
and
sorry.
And one of them
that.
I'm on the hook for.
I'm really sorry about that. Well, wait a minute. No,
partly.
It's your son.
It's my son. So I'm partly on the hook.
They still stick it to the bride's family, don't they?
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, I had that last year, and I have that later this year. My two daughters, one got married last year, another one's getting married this year. And I did make sure to show them a study I saw a couple years back where it showed that the higher the price of the wedding, the less likely the marriage lasts.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
See, you don't want a really expensive wedding.
I didn't want an expensive wedding either. I had one, and they were trying to make it last. They said, keep it down. Who pays $1,000 just to have, you know, monogrammed napkins on the table? That seemed like a waste to me.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's the way it is. That's how I feel about it. Now get out of here.
All right. Robin Leach would be so disappointed in you.
Well, it's an industry. To me, it's just a big scam. But you know what? Don't listen to me. I'm so cynical. I can't even stand myself anymore. Honestly, I can't. All right, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. My point originally was go see the Brain Trust in person at any of those workshops. There's going to be more in April. Find out where at wealthed.com and when. All right, we've covered so much today. We have a little a room on the phones, 877-PLANNER. Before I get to an email, I want to go back to one thing, speaking of advice, that came from one of our callers, Dennis, who is a new listener, a new caller. Thank you, Dennis. We appreciate that. He was calling about the bucket strategy.
Right.
Now, his accountant, according to him, had said, well, you know, it really isn't right for you. As it turned out, it wasn't.
Well, no, it could very well work for him, but not the way that they were designing it, because his income needs from his portfolio were very, very slight. And so the accountant was saying, don't worry about that. Just do it the way you're doing it, which is, for him, it actually worked. But unfortunately, it doesn't work for everybody that way. And that's why accountants are very good at what they do.
Accounting.
And that's why you don't go to an accountant all the time for your financial advice. And
that's why you
want to have a financial advisor and an accountant, and you want them working together for your best interest.
What you're saying is the accountant should do the accounting work, which is required
and very difficult.
Absolutely. And the planner or the advisor should do the planning/advising work and not the accounting.
I will agree with that. Now, a lot of times also when people talk to their accountants, the only thing that matters is tax minimization today. You know, we can reduce your taxes by doing this. Reduce. Always tax minimization today, at least with some accountants, tax preparers, I should say. That isn't necessarily always the best thing to do. There are times where actually accelerating an income tax can make a lot of sense, because if you can avoid a bigger tax later on, that's where it makes sense.
Yeah.
So planning does have a place. Accounting definitely has a place, but they're not the same place. So when you're looking to create portfolios for retirement, you know, the old tried and true, just stick it all in municipal bonds and live off the interest.
Oh, grandpa's advice.
And that's what a lot of accountants will say too, because tax-free municipal bonds are tax-free. And their main focus, the tax preparer's main focus, is tax minimization. Your main focus should be total return, and what do I get to keep in my pocket, let alone not just what I didn't pay in taxes, but what do I get to keep in my pocket? How do I manage this, not just for today, but for the rest of my life, so that the income stays where I need it to be and I'm always available, the money's available when I need it.
Yeah, and this speaks to required minimum distributions, which I don't have time to tie into, but you know where I'm going with this, Professor Plum. Some people will say, forget about it. Don't ever take
a distribution until the government forces you to take
it. Right, which will lower your which
today
will,
it lowers your, potentially lowers your income tax bracket.
But what they never say or rarely say is, oh, by the way, you're going to pay a lot more, you know, later on.
And not just you, but maybe your surviving spouse will pay a lot more later on. And so there is a planning aspect to this whole thing, to the required minimum distribution, building it into your portfolio, the location. We talked about tax location last week. Having the assets in the right area, creating the income that you need at the right taxable amount for the right taxable year, and stretching it out over your lifetime rather than postponing it makes a lot of sense.
877-PLANNER, back to the phone lines. We got Bob in Las Vegas up next. Bob, thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Is my bank account safer in a credit union than under credit union insurance if there's a currency devaluation or economic crash? Or am I safe in a regional bank, state bank, rather than a big
In either case, they're insured by the government. You got the FDIC on the bank, and I can't remember what they call it for credit unions now.
NCUA
or something like that.
Yeah. How much money are we talking about here?
But that's not the issue. They're both guaranteed. And if you have, in your case, a devaluation of the currency and you're worried about that, a dollar is a dollar. Whether it's in my bank or in my credit union, a dollar is going to have the same impact, or the impact is going to be the same on both dollars. Now, I don't think it's going to be a big issue, because, you know, we're not, unless you're a world traveler and you're taking it overseas and things, it's not going to have an issue. But both of them, it's the same thing. A dollar is a dollar.
Can something happen to us here, to our accounts, like happened in Greece? You get a letter in the mail, you no longer have $1,000 in a bank, you only got $15 during because of currency devaluation?
Well, that's not what happened in Greece. It wasn't if I have a dollar in the U.S. denominated in the dollar, the devaluation of the dollar doesn't take dollars away from me. It takes my purchasing power away. It takes my ability to spend the money. But if I had $100, I still have $100.
Right.
It doesn't go as far as it used to. And what happened in Greece is totally different. No, they can't just go into your bank account and steal it. Not with the laws we have on the books today. And if they try to change those laws, they'll get voted out of office.
That's not going to happen.
They'll steal it a different way through taxation.
Bob, there are a lot of scare tactics out there. I just don't want you to listen to them, okay?
Doesn't make any difference whether I go into a credit union or stay in my regular bank. It doesn't make any difference.
Not from what you're talking about. A dollar is a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for the call, Bob. Yeah,
one is, I think it's NCUA, National Credit Union Association.
That's
protection, and the other one's FDIC. They're both insured up to $250,000, but it's still a dollar either place. And so if you're worried about the devaluation of your purchasing power, it's going to happen to both dollars, regardless of where it's at.
Yeah, and we are so far away from devaluation of our currency to any degree at all right now. They have no clue how to create inflation. I don't know why. It's easy to do, but for whatever reason.
It's not like the current economies overseas are doing so much better than ours.
No, they're not. And of course, Greece, you know, when they got rid of their monetary sovereignty and they took over the Eurozone, they have no control over it. So that's the other problem. We've got total control. The government issues dollars.
This is control?
This is control. Well, no, we...
No, this is chaos.
We don't do here. But what we do is take a break, and we're going to be doing that here. And coming back with more, we got some emails, we got some trivia. Your phone calls, lines are open. Call now, 877-PLANNER. Contribute. It's been a great show so far. One more segment just ahead, Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking your calls here till the top of the hour. Emails, if we have time, we'll get to them. You go to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com at the Find Your Answer link, and we'll answer those questions there. Okay, 877-PLANNER. We'll get to as many calls as we can. If we have time, we'll get to some of the trivia questions, and we'll tell you what's coming up on this program tomorrow. Let's move along, though, next to Brian in, I think, Las Vegas. I'm not sure. Hello, Brian.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
I have a friend that is telling me that the indexed life annuity is the only way to invest or keep your money, IRAs and mutual funds and all that are too risky. Can you explain what that is? I really didn't understand what he was trying to tell me here.
Well, an indexed annuity, a fixed indexed annuity, is a guaranteed account, and it gives an interest rate paid to it potentially every year when the market or the index that you're using shows a positive return. So if the index is positive, you get an interest payment. If the index is negative for your calculation period, you don't get any interest, but you don't lose any money. So yes, it is safer as far as risk of principal than a straight in the market mutual fund, stock, ETF, or something of that nature, where you have the downside potential, but also all the upside potential. An indexed annuity is designed to produce a return in today's world between 4 or 5%, maybe 3 and 5%. They're not designed to give you stock market type returns, but then you wouldn't expect them to because there's no risk to the principal. The risk is mitigated in that respect. So the insurance company guarantees the principal, and the insurance company says, we will pay you an interest rate based on the movement of an index. Now, what is it that you're trying to accomplish with this money? What kind of a rate of return? What type of a time horizon do you have with this money?
Okay, well, the one thing that appealed to me is he's saying it's tax-free, so I like that.
No. Okay, he's talking about an index life insurance policy, not annuity.
Oh, okay.
Okay, life insurance is similar. The cash value is invested. The cap rates are higher. But there are also the fees of the insurance policy. So, and if you do it correctly, down the line, 15, 20 years or more, you can start taking distributions from the policy, and you can, depending upon the policy, you can withdraw your basis first, which is a change. Instead of paying taxes on the earnings first, you withdraw your whatever you've contributed first, and then over and above that, you can borrow against the cash value. And the borrowing is not a taxable event as long as the life insurance policy stays in force. And then when you die, the loan is paid off by the death benefit. So done correctly,
okay,
it can work. And now there is a specific subset of people that should do this. Tell me a little bit about you. How old are you?
I am 52. I retired. I have a state retirement from the Clark County School District. So, but because I relied on that my entire life, I didn't really put anything away for a traditional retirement, which is what I'm trying to do now because I'm young enough to start a second.
So where are you getting the money from to put into the investments?
I'm going to work. Well, I work another job. So I'm retired, but I'm still working.
Okay. And so The key here is, realistically, index life and index UL, IUL, works well. You're kind of at the top end of it. You're a little bit on the,
top
I hate to tell you this,
what?
You're a little on the old side. But it can still work for money that you want to spend when you're 75, 80 years old. The keys here, there, if you're in a high income tax bracket, you have excess cash flow, you've fully funded your Roth IRAs, you've fully funded your 401ks, you need life insurance. If those are yeses across the board, then your next step is an indexed UL policy that makes some sense. Now, the other side of it is you want to run the death benefit as low as possible, because the death benefit adds fees. The higher the death benefit, the more the cost. The more the cost, the less your growth. The less your growth doesn't meet your needs. But I would look at doing my Roth IRAs first. I would look at doing my 401ks, whether it's Roth or traditional, second. And then after that, if I still have excess cash flow every month and I have a long-term time horizon, sure, index UL makes some sense. But I would not do it before I do my Roth. Definitely not that, unless I didn't qualify for Roth. I wouldn't do it in front of my 401k unless I've already maxed that out or I'm not eligible for anything like that. I wouldn't do it if I'm not in a super high tax bracket. And I wouldn't do it unless I had a long-term time horizon and I could commit to a reasonable amount of money going in for the next 10 years.
A good amount of money, I would say, right?
And have a low, and then run it down low on the death benefit as much as I could without affecting the tax treatment.
All right, you made it very clear. I really appreciate your time, and that helps me tremendously.
Okay, all right, Brian, if you need some more information on how these insurance policies work, feel free to hang on. We can talk to you more about it off the air. I appreciate the call. Another great topic.
And I'm not against them. I mean,
no,
I am against the way they're sold in many cases. That you should do it regardless of those other things I mentioned.
You mean somebody who is not in a high tax bracket has not contributed everything to their Roth or their 401k or the other retirement plan.
And what he started with was everybody. His advisor said everybody. This is the only way to save for your longevity. No, it's not the only way. In fact, the rate of return is going to be somewhat watered down a little bit because of the internal expenses, and that's why you want to run the death benefit down. Are they the worst thing in the world? No, but there are potentially better things, because if you do a Roth and invest, yes, there'll be some flexibility and volatility, but if you're going to do it for 15, 20 years, I'm not that worried about the short-term volatility. And if I'm doing it for 5 years, the IUL is not the right product. That's too quick. That's too short. So it's a long-term investment. That's why I like the Roth better.
This is one of those you really should look into overfunding, right?
Definitely.
Because, as you said, you need to bring the death benefit a portion of it down as much as you can without affecting the tax treatment.
Right, and you want to run it right at what they call the modified endowment. You're doing this as an investment primarily. The life insurance is secondary. You're doing it within a life insurance policy to try to get that tax-free growth, that tax-deferred, ultimately potentially tax-free distribution. They are not short-term investments. They're long-term investments. And so because we want to try to build cash value as much as possible, we want to limit the amount of fees as much as possible, but still maintain the tax benefits of the life insurance policy. And unfortunately, brokers want to sell you as much life insurance possible because the commission is better that way.
Yeah, and when in fact you should be doing the least amount of life insurance if you're using this particular strategy.
So determine, rather than saying I need $500,000 of life insurance or I need $1 million of life insurance and let me go fund that, figure out how much you can afford to fund. I'm willing to commit $10,000 a year or whatever the number is and run the death benefit down to that level of funding. Pick up the rest need if you have more need in term.
If you need the brain trust off the air, talk about this or any of the topics that you hear on this program. You heard a lot of them today. You can talk to Professor Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors at their off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.